Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State. And I really mean that. There's some people out there who don't believe it's going to happen. It's already happening. Brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it's about Ephesians 2:5-6. God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we get that verse as a church, we will walk in victory. Everything that is under the feet of Jesus Christ, if we're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in us, is under our feet too. We just got to put it there. Stop hanging on to it. You know, a lot of people don't leave that old man buried. You know, we die with Christ, we rise with Christ. They don't leave that old man buried. And we need to leave it buried. I want to talk about something too. It's the idea of a presumption of good intentions among brothers and sisters in Christ. I was at an event today and somebody brought something up that the media had put out and Socialist Review had put out. Again, completely untrue, totally twisted things. We need to identify the mainstream media as antithetical to the principles of America. They've earned that, and we need to recognize it. So if you hear something from them, don't immediately take it. Oh, well, what happened there? Give the presumption of goodwill, good intentions to brothers and sisters in Christ. It's pretty simple that way. Save you a lot of heartache and heartburn too. But it's just amazing to me that with all the distrust out there, people are still listening to them. And it's not any more accurate. It's usually less accurate. And right now, you have downtown Seattle that is trying to export these ideas throughout the rest of the state. What happens in downtown Seattle is not going to stay in downtown Seattle. They want to export it throughout the rest of the state. And also, we need to understand that it is easier to create a new state than it is to unwind the old one with that massive majority in downtown Seattle, which is the whole point behind the 51st state. And it better represents those in downtown Seattle, and it better represents those here in Eastern Washington and the rest of rural Washington. It's amazing to me. People don't understand that. All throughout Northeast Washington, I mean, this is huge amounts of support. Huge. But there are people still fighting it. So you have to ask why. Is there some sort of an agenda? There's a thing called Well, I'm not going to name it because I don't want to give it any credit, but there's a page up in Stevens County where you got a bunch of atheist, and I wouldn't even call them libertarians because they don't even understand the term, but they're atheist rabble-rousers and connected to socialists. We have screenshots of all of it. And I'm going to be exposing this here in the next couple weeks because, you know, kind of sick and tired of some of these guys just trying to run roughshod over conservatives. They need to be called out for who they are. They need to be called out for who they are. And what they try to do is confuse the electorate all the time. They'll try to confuse people. Oh, that's not really Republican. They're not who they say they are, when they're the ones who are not who they say they are. And so the only way to fix that and expose it is to shine the light in on them. And so that's what we aim to do, because these folks are absolutely tied to the left. They're tied to Soros-funded organizations through people. They're tied to the Democrat Socialists of America. They're tied to everything that we fight as conservatives. And as Christians, we should not be ashamed that the Bible says what it says. We should embrace it. And so, you know, if we don't stand up now together collectively. You know, will we have the opportunity to stand up later? You know, this Supreme Court case that came out was not the big win. It was about process. It was not about the fundamental principle, whether there is a right of conscientious objection, a right not to participate in an activity or a religious ceremony based on sincerely held religious beliefs. I believe there's that right. I believe the Founding Fathers believe there was that right. I think their writings are clear on this issue, but this recent Supreme Court case was not that big win. It was on the process, the fact that they were overtly biased ahead of time. Well, now all that's going to do is drive these people underground. You know, they're going to hide their true feelings. You know, like the Washington State Human Rights Commission has made some incredible statements that clearly, I think, show bias. But now they're going to drive it underground. And Christians across the board need to understand that. And we need to start giving our brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ the benefit of the doubt, because we are coming into a time where people are going to be demonized and already are being demonized because they believe in and on the name of Jesus Christ. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front in the Middle East. Quote, we won't let Iran develop a weapon, end quote. The United States is going to be moving not just troops into Israel, but technology into Israel and more weaponry. Things shaping up there as a flashpoint. Also on the international front, now you heard it on Patriot Radio, not in a lot of other places, but on Patriot Radio, the Independent out of the UK reporting of more quote-unquote sonic attacks in China, again on U.S. diplomats. Now, some are saying that these may not be, you know, directed attacks, but actually may be the result or the side effects of very intrusive electronic and sound surveillance. And that makes sense. So Cuba, now it's happened, and now reports of it happening also in China, that coming to us from The Independent. Also on the international front, who'd have thought? Trump goes to Korea, or to the North Koreans in Singapore, and says, I think it would be beneficial for North Korea, and even shows Kim Jong-un a video about a better North Korea. I love that. And now it looks like they might actually be moving forward toward peace. Now, I want to caveat this. In the past, North Korea has not lived up to its promises. So whatever comes forward, and Trump has indicated this several times publicly, there needs to be a trust but verify system. And the verify part of it needs to be actual and meaningful. But wow, it looks like he is doing something that nobody would have thought would have happened. And the fact that he's actually using diplomacy first, finally, is great. And it really is a slap in the face of the globalists who want to have us in perpetual war. Now, there are some out there who think that, you know, it's right to go to war all the time. For those of us that have served, it should be a last resort. And Trump is really doing a great job exhausting the diplomatic option. And to a certain extent, you know, some credit does need to go to Dennis Rodman. I mean, I don't think I ever would have said that a couple of years ago, but I think some credit needs to go to him. Also on the international front, Hungary. God bless Viktor Orban there in Hungary, chasing out George Soros. Now, these countries over there are starting to talk, Poland, Hungary, Northern Italy now, with the new government there, the five-star in the league, or Lega Lombarda. Those guys are all talking now, and it's interesting that those are the same coalition, as I mentioned before on this program, that were at the Siege of Vienna. Just interesting historical that all of these countries are now coming back together, including Austria and the Czech Republic. So, the German, and to a lesser extent, French alliance of this unlimited immigration is being completely rebuffed. The Italians actually turning away a ship. Good for them. reestablishing their sovereignty and their borders. And I got to tell you something, the globalists are worried. They are scared. This nationalism, this return to sovereignty, was scaring them. Now, I would not put it past for there to be some sort of an event to try to turn the tide in the other direction. But the fact of the matter is globalists are losing everywhere. And I'm going to get to another example here very shortly. On the national, and actually, let me back up. Tommy Robinson, this came out, and I mentioned last week about Germany, that Germany's offered him asylum. But Tommy Robinson was moved into a predominantly Islamic prison in England. And he's fearing for his life, actually put it out there. So there's a lot of people over there who are extremely worried about this whole situation. And it just goes to show you that it can happen in a Western nation. Somebody can be arrested, denied an attorney of their choice, sentenced in secret. Just amazing. So we're going to keep our eyes and continue to keep our eyes on that. On the national front, wow, today bombshells coming out. This is just unreal, but the IG's report finds, quote, Comey insubordinate in Hillary probe, end quote. It's coming from WorldNet Daily. But in addition to that, Peter Strzok, who's kind of been at the center of all this, reportedly texted, "We'll stop Trump from becoming president." InfoWars also reporting on this. Sessions warns that the IG report could lead to more firings. Well, you think? They should have been fired a long time ago. But a lot of people seeing this as the unraveling of the deep state. Trump's doing a phenomenal job with this. And I think this is just the beginning. I think there's way more out there behind the scenes that has not been revealed. So just understand that. And it will remain to be seen. Firings are one thing. But you and I all know that these people, a lot of them, should be prosecuted. Because if it was a normal average American, that average American would be prosecuted. These guys need to be prosecuted, especially for leaking classified information, for goodness sakes. All right, also on the national front, social media giants now confirmed, officially working with the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the worst, most hateful leftist groups in the country. Been discredited on numerous occasions, including going after Ben Carson. Goodness sakes. And these social media giants are working with him, and it's resulting in censorship of conservatives. So the question becomes, if a corporation is working so closely with the United States government, do constitutional protections then also have to apply to that corporation? In other words, things like the First Amendment, because First Amendment was only supposed to apply to Congress. Congress should make no law. And this is very interesting how this is becoming you can't distinguish between big government and big corporations anymore. It's the same people a lot of times. And at the very least, they're working very closely together. So this is alarming. The SPLC has been given this kind of access, and it is indeed resulting in conservative censorship. And that's why a lot of people are now beginning to move social media platforms. There's many out there: Gab, MeWe, Eagle Fire, Minds. There's several others that people have sent to me, and I've signed up on those, and I'm using them right now, and I'll tell you how it goes as I'm on there. But I'm preparing to switch platforms. This stuff continues. It's becoming untenable, and we need to be able to get our message out without worrying about it. All right. Also on the national front, NAFTA now is being negotiated, or renegotiated, I should say. NAFTA looks like it is becoming bilateral, and this is threatening, again, the globalists. Because Trump is saying no more America gets the short end of the stick all the time. He's moving toward bilateral talks. Now, they're trying to say that Trump's decision to impose tariffs has deadlocked the NAFTA talks. But look at these. This is so important to understand. Canada in particular had tariffs on U.S. timber and U.S. dairy before we had these discussions. And what Trump did is economically sound. He lowered the taxes for most Americans and then began talking about raising tariffs. And what that does is allow for the offset in costs over the short term, but then also allows the economy to grow in the long term back here at home. It's very economically sound. But these countries have been doing this for a long time. America has been getting the short end of the stick for a long time. So I'm glad to see that this is happening. And again, the globalist cabal is being threatened. All right. Also talk about the fact on the national front, this coming from the 10th Amendment Center. That last one was from the New American Magazine. Again, the premier digest in America. If you want to know what's really going on, they're so accurate all the time and predict things years in advance. All right, this coming to us from the 10th Amendment Center. The feds are building a giant surveillance network on top of America's transportation system. They're enabling and cooperating with states, in other words, to make this happen. It's happening with cameras going up on transit routes. Literally in Richmond, their transit company, 100 live surveillance cameras all along their stops. We're seeing it already with license plate readers. If you're driving down I-90, you can see it on these camera poles that are up there and license plate readers that have been up and put in place and on some of our major streets and arterials. So it's happening. And again, it's being built on the infrastructure that we so desperately need improvement on. Also on the national front, what a great story. It's also coming from the 10th Amendment Center. The Texas Bullion Depository is now open for business. A direct challenge to the entire Federal Reserve system. You can deposit gold or silver, then you can pay other people through electronic means or checks in sound money. Wow, what a change. And, you know, we've tried this up here in Washington, but the Democrats kind of don't want to hear about it. The fact of the matter is you could diversify across precious metals. You could even have company inventories to back currencies along Adam Smith's real bill theory. If you haven't heard of that, you can look it up. So a great move by Texas to reclaim some of its state sovereignty. Also on the national front, I've already talked about this case from Supreme Court on the Bakers, but I want to bring up another thing that's very interesting going on in Arizona right now. The court in Arizona has been okay affirming a Phoenix ordinance that mandates that Christian company owners must support and endorse same-sex marriage with their products and artistry. This flies again in the face of the freedom of conscience. Freedom of sexual preference always must yield to freedom of conscience because freedom of conscience is central to freedom. If you don't believe that, you believe in tyranny. Period, end of story. Philosophically, you believe in tyranny. People have to have the right to not participate in an activity based on sincerely held religious beliefs or sincerely held beliefs, for that matter. It is a linchpin of freedom. All right, also, in moving down to the regional front, pardon the Hammonds. This, again, I've had it confirmed again that this is on Trump's desk. So we're going to see what happens. But if you haven't signed the petition, go to the whitehouse.gov website and sign the petition to pardon the Hammonds. Also on the regional front, this case out of the west side of the state in regards to using the Consumer Protection Act to stifle speech. There was a reconsideration hearing. The judge again ruled that the CPA could be used to stifle political speech. California has used the CPA to essentially ban Bibles in a bill that they've introduced down there, where they want to. And it's just important for everybody to understand that that's how this is going to shape up. It's how it's going to shape up. Also on the regional front, from the AHA Foundation, Washington gets an F on female genital mutilation and protections of innocent young women. Also on the regional front, Pena, the regional forester for Region 6, out as of July 3rd, early retirement. Another swamp dweller gone, one of the reasons our forests burn every year. Also on the regional front, this FBI trial, FBI agent on trial, actually, let me correct that, for the shooting of Lavoie Finicum. We're going to see how this comes down. I have not heard a word about this, so they're still in trial process right now, and we're not getting any updates. And lastly, been talking a lot about forest management, and proper forest management, it would prevent all these catastrophic wildfires. It would return jobs to rural Washington. You know, everybody believes we could do this, and it would be the greatest thing we could do for clean air. I'm not talking global warming. I'm talking just clean air. Be the best thing we could do. We'd reduce CO2 emissions by 24 million tons in 1 year, because that's how much is from catastrophic wildfires out of 92 million tons for the total state emissions. So if you want clean air, you want to do this reduction of fuel load in the forests. Well, in addition to that, there's an interesting company that has come to my attention called Carbon Engineering. And this company, I expect that a lot of more people are going to be looking this up soon, but Carbon Engineering claims that they can actually pull carbon directly from the atmosphere and synthesize it into clean transportation fuel. So there's another solution if we would allow the free market to work. I mean, shoot, why not? And lastly, I want to go back up to the national front very quickly. The Dems IT scandal. This is that scandal where it implicated Debbie Wasserman Schultz, among others, where Imran Awan, the former IT aide, was arrested. It apparently has made a plea deal. So I think it's important that people keep that on their radar screen, because it looks like in the next few weeks there might be more names put out there as a result of that plea deal. All right. Last but not least, on the local front, Red Pill Expo next week. Here's the deal. If you know a student, have them get a hold of me, matt@voteshea.com, matt@voteshea.com. And they can prove they're a student. They can get into Red Pill Expo for free. No food. It's a dry ticket. So those of you listening out there that have a young person that you want to make sure gets to the Red Pill Expo, have them contact me so we can get them in the door. All right? It's my thought that it would be very, very educational, not to mention a life-changing experience. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and the show. Make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And also, if you want to support the show, you can go to VoteShea.com. And last but not least, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean, B-E-A-N, Podbean. You can download it and listen to it whenever you want to. If you miss a show, like the one we're about to have, you can get on there and download it, listen to it while you're traveling on vacation or whatever, even get caught up on Patriot Radio. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce somebody I am a gigantic fan of.
I'm trying to get a hold of him.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to let it hang there for a second. But no, honestly, it's Del Bigtree from the movie Vaxxed. And hopefully we can get a hold of him. He's an Emmy-winning producer. He also is the founder of ICANN, which is Informed Consent Action Network. He's going to be at the Red Pill Expo next week. So hopefully we can get a hold of him, get him on the line. But for all of you out there right now, Red Pill Expo next week is the opportunity to meet some pretty legendary people. Pat Wood, G. Edward Griffin, and Dale Bigtree. So, Dale, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, was just talking you up right before we got you on. You're going to be here at Red Pill next week. What are you going to be talking about, if you can give the listeners a little bit of a teaser?
You know, I'm going to be laying out, essentially, Bobby Kennedy and I had the opportunity last year, set up by Donald Trump, to meet with the heads of the National Institute of Health, the CDC, the FDA, to lay out what we thought were the issues with the vaccine program, the fact that there has been no safety testing, as far as we can tell, of any of the vaccines being injected into kids, the fact that there's no surveillance program that is, making sure that if there's a problem with the vaccine and it's injuring children and people, that we can capture it. So all that we put together, a PowerPoint that we presented to the health agencies of the United States of America, and that is the PowerPoint I am going to deliver to people at the Red Pill Expo. You're going to see exactly what we said to the faces of our health department. That's what I'm going to present at the Red Pill Expo.
So right now, what do you think is the greatest barrier to getting some action done on these issues? Because it seems like now the science is catching up. People are open to listening to this, whereas maybe 3-4 years ago, if you mentioned the, you know, vaccine freedom or the fact that there might be problems with vaccines, they would think you were kooky. What do you think is the greatest barrier now with all the progress that has been made?
Well, first of all, it excites me and makes me happy that you said that you believe that we've gotten past the place where you're called kooky if you talk about vaccines. I think a lot of people would say that we are still in a place where this is the most censored discussion in the world. But I am happy that the movie I made, Vaxxed, with Andy Wakefield, and I think it's created a sea change around this discussion in the world. But the thing that holds us back, you know, a lot of people will say that they believe it's greed and it's the money and the pharmaceutical industry. All of that may be playing into this. There's no doubt that the pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful lobby in Washington. It's outspending oil and gas 2-1. They're buying more politicians than any other industry in the world. So that should alarm people, the fact that we have a political system that's being purchased by a singular industry. And why do you think pharma would need to buy politicians? Why do they need them? Is it to sell more OxyContin? That doesn't make any sense. When you really start investigating vaccines the way I have, as an ex, you know, producer of a medical talk show called The Doctors, where I celebrated medicine, what you recognize is the future of the pharmaceutical industry really is in vaccines. It's the only product in the world that is mandated upon people. Every other product, you can decide whether you want to take an OxyContin. You can decide whether you want to take an antidepressant. You are not being allowed to decide whether you want to take one of their vaccines. Government officials are writing laws to force that into you. That's why they're buying politicians. So you have a political movement that's against you. You have billions, millions and billions of dollars being funneled into a political system so that laws are being passed so that you can't have this conversation. In addition, the pharmaceutical industry is the number one largest advertising body in television. They are buying 75% of the advertisement during an election year on a television set. So that means Sanjay Gupta and, you know, Rachel Maddow and, even Fox News people are, you know, Sean Hannity, they're receiving money from the pharmaceutical industry to say what they're going to say. They are not allowed to investigate vaccines, because the moment they do, millions and millions of dollars will disappear from revenue from that television station. So they own the television. So though the size of this industry and the money is huge, but here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is our belief system in this idea. It's not just that journalists are being, you know, paid to promote vaccines, it's that they, I really believe we actually believe in this idea. Like many of the people I worked with on the medical talk show, we think vaccines have made us healthy and safe and that they've been proven to be safe because that has been the discussion. And as a person that has investigated this deeply alongside of Bobby Kennedy and other luminaries that have risked everything to investigate this and tell the truth, what I can tell you is there is going to be a gnashing of teeth. There is going to be that biblical moment in all of our lives when the truth comes out and says, oh, my God, my doctor, my pediatrician, my OB lied to me and told me vaccines were safe when it has now been proven they were never tested for safety, that we have seen an increase in chronic illness from 12% in our children back in the 1980s when we got 10 vaccines to now 54% of children in America have a chronic illness. We've seen a skyrocketing of cancer. Autism's gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 32. These types of numbers, and we're being told by the pharmaceutical industry, which is paying for the news ads, paying for your pharmaceutical representatives, paying for your government officials to all tell us that that was not caused by their products, when in the fact, the actual fact is it was. Can you imagine what's going to happen when people recognize that their doctor did not tell them the truth? Now, I'm not blaming doctors. They didn't know. They were lied to like the rest of us. But our concept of the world we live in, we hold doctors in the highest esteem there is. We put them above our God. We put them above our religion. We put them above everything. And the moment we recognize the foundational principle of our health, which was vaccines, was a lie, what do we trust the moment that happens? That's what we're up against. People having to recognize we can't trust our government and we can't trust our hospitals and we can't trust our doctors because a foundational principle was a lie from the beginning.
Let's talk directly about that. You have had a lot of people put a lot on the line. A lot of people have lost their careers. A lot of people have lost friends, family members over this. People say, well, this issue was settled a long time ago, Dell. I mean, smallpox was eradicated, wasn't it? Why are we rehashing this issue today? Aren't you just afraid that these chemicals are going to hurt us or these vaccines are going to hurt us when you really don't have any support behind that? And I start the conversation off with, do you know who Dr. William Thompson is? And most people don't. Tell the listeners a little bit about that also. And it's interesting, just as a side note, last time I had you on the program, we tried to get a hearing so we could bring him here to Washington State. They refused to give us a hearing, and I think it was for the exact reason of keeping him out of Washington State. Anyways, if you could tell listeners a little bit about him.
Sure. So Dr. William Thompson, I was working as a producer on the daytime talks for the doctors where I won an Emmy Award. I was there for 6 years, CBS television show, four doctors on the set, writing for doctors, investigating great medicine, great surgeries, great techniques. So I am not an anti-medicine or science person. I got tipped off that there was a whistleblower from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that was going to step forward and say that they had committed scientific fraud on the vaccine autism studies, specifically the MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine study. Is a man named William Thompson. I heard about this story before anybody did because of the types of places I would get my stories while working on the doctors. And I pitched the story. I was not allowed to cover it because that would be going against the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which were friends of the show. We had medical sponsors like Pfizer and Merck and things like that. So it wasn't lost on me why I couldn't cover a story of a whistleblower. But what I watched was I said, well, in 2 weeks, this story is going to break to the public. Then everyone's going to jump on it. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, think about it. I was sitting there thinking, if this story is true, if this scientist inside the CDC, one of five people that's been in charge of investigating the safety of all of our vaccines, comes forward and says we are committing fraud and vaccines are dangerous, that'll be the biggest medical story the world has ever seen. And it happened. He came forward. There was recordings of him online saying things like, every time I see an autistic child, I feel guilty. I know what we did. I can't believe what we did. And so that story and eventually, so there's a lot to it, but long story short, I left the doctors and I pursued that story to make a documentary about Dr. William Thompson called Vaxxed. Now, if you think, well, okay, then maybe there's a story, maybe there's not. Look at what happened in the movie I made. Vax gets accepted into the Tribeca Film Festival. It has 4 hours of recordings of Dr. William Thompson laying out exactly how they committed the fraud, showing they saw that the MMR vaccine, just really quickly, they were looking at, does the vaccine cause autism? Because hundreds of thousands of parents around the world were all claiming they watched their child regress into autism right after an MMR vaccine. England, you know, all over, Australia, America, Japan, everyone was saying it. So the U.S. government asked the CDC to investigate it. They did this study. It was called the MMR Autism Study by Frank DiStefano. He was the lead author, the lead scientist. And the other real lead was our guy, Dr. William Thompson, because he was the one that was the numbers cruncher. He was the statistician. He's the one that took all the data from 3,000 kids in Atlanta and ran it through a computer system and found that there was up to 3.5 times the amount of autism in African-American boys if they got the vaccine on time, the CDC scheduled between 12 and 18 months versus those that waited till after 3 years old. The whole question was a timing study. Is the earlier you get the vaccine make you more likely to have autism? That's exactly what they found in multiple cases. Then they took all races out of it and just said if you were a perfectly healthy child that received the vaccine between 12 and 18 months when the CDC said you should, you were up to 7 times more likely to develop autism than those kids that had waited till after 3 years old. So they knew it was dangerous to give this vaccine early, and they didn't change it. Instead, they changed their study. They kicked half the kids off the study, committed one of the greatest acts of scientific fraud the world has ever seen. You cannot do that. You cannot chop your study group in half because you don't like what you're seeing, and that's exactly what they did, amongst other incredible issues. Thompson not only says that, he gave us 10,000 documents. We made a movie. We got accepted into Tribeca. And then the pharmaceutical world descended upon Tribeca. Now, think about this. The pharmaceutical may own the television stations, but they don't. I didn't think they owned movie theaters and Tribeca Film Festival, a place where you can put up a movie that says the President of the United States knew about the World Trade Centers or were even part of dropping the World Trade Centers, which Fahrenheit 9/11 said. That could play in any festival in the world, but you set out to show that a scientist inside of our top agency for health is saying we've committed scientific fraud. We got kicked out of Tribeca, which made Vax the biggest movie on this issue of all times. I'll never complain about it. It put us on the map, and it's been a worldwide sensation since. But ask yourselves, why couldn't that movie play in a festival? Why were there bomb threats in theaters? Why won't Australia allow it to play anywhere in a theater? Why is there this clampdown? What could possibly be in a movie that is so dangerous except the fact that the truth is there? And
exactly.
They know if you watch Vaxxed, it moves you. And I don't say that because I made it. I feel lucky as a filmmaker to have been a vessel that allowed a movie that needed to be made. It's sort of how a sculptor talks about a piece of stone. Somehow we chipped away the right amount of stone and allowed a story that the world knew was true. And if you see that movie, it is everything that pharmaceutical is afraid of. They are telling you not to see it. They are telling nurses you're not allowed to see it or you will be fired because you cannot watch back and walk out and not know in your heart you have been lied to.
Also, and I think it's a very important point, they compared only vaccinated populations to vaccinated populations. They didn't compare vaccinated to unvaccinated.
That is a perfect point. And when people argue online that, you know, they say, well, all these studies show that vaccines are safe and effective. Really, there's really only one story that could actually, there's only one study that could prove that. And that is, compare vaccinated children with unvaccinated children. That's exactly what Bobby Kennedy and I and a group of scientists and lawyers said to the heads of our health departments. If you are so sure that this vaccine program works, why have you never tested the entire vaccine program against kids that did not use it? Why have you never tested a vaccine against kids that don't get the vaccine? Why do you refuse to do the standardized safety study that every drug in the world goes through? What are you afraid of? And they refuse. They refuse. They have a database at the CDC with 10 million people that they've been tracking for 20 to 40 years. We could go into that database, the computer system. We have computer learning now. And we could ask questions of that database. Simply, what is the rate of multiple sclerosis amongst the vaccinated? What is the rate of cancer amongst the vaccinated? What is the rate of autism amongst the vaccinated? What is the rate of, you know, asthma, ADD, ADHD, diabetes? All of these things are running rampant through our school systems. And then run the same questions against the unvaccinated, because there's tens of thousands of unvaccinated children in that database, too. And you know what they said to us? We won't do that study. We will not do that study. The top scientific body in the world refuses to allow a computer to compare those two groups, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So I say, I will never vaccinate my child until I watch good scientists make the most obvious comparison study known to man. If you do not, I will go ahead and assume you already know what the answer is. It's the answer that every chiropractor not vaccinating their child will tell you. Everyone like me that is not vaccinating their child will tell you. My kids are not sick. They don't have tubes in their ears. They do not have asthma. They do not have eczema on their body. They do not have ADD, ADHD. They are not spinning around on the baseball field as my son ends up being the star baseball player of every team he's on simply because he can focus. They are not babies that stare you in the eyes at 12 months. They're not watching fans and lights and totally disconnected from the world. They know that's the case. And if your child is sick, if your child has these autoimmune diseases, their body is getting diabetes in childhood, has gastrointestinal issues like Crohn's disease that used to only affect elderly, if your child has ADD, ADHD, and can't focus, or your little girl in elementary school is about to be putting on meds because she's depressed, please stop vaccinating that child. It is destroying their brains. It is destroying their gut biome. It is hurting their bodies, and it is killing their ability to be the dynamic individuals that we have been on this planet since the beginning of man. Why would we need a product when we were doing fine without it? And for those that argue polio or smallpox, first of all, I had someone arguing today, well, you're going to cause a return of smallpox. We don't even have a vaccine for smallpox, people. We don't vaccinate it. So anyone that says to you you're afraid of smallpox returning, I have news for you. Your chickenpox vaccine doesn't protect you from smallpox. Your measles vaccine doesn't protect you from smallpox. Smallpox is gone. And for anyone that says that, well, we've eradicated it with vaccines, then I would say, well, then why did scarlet fever disappear? You know that scarlet fever killed more people than polio ever dreamed of? It's disappeared, too. Probably because of clean running water and toilets and not walking through horse feces all through our streets and actually not, you know, having sewage everywhere we moved. As soon as we had toilets and clean running water, disease disappeared. Yet they try to hold and compare us to a model of a society that is not representative of the one we live in. Vaccines aren't what get us here. We have modern society to thank. Clean running water is why you are healthy. Why are you sick? Because of our vaccine program. So look at scarlet fever. Had we been able to create a vaccine that could have dealt with scarlet fever, and believe me, they tried. They couldn't work it out. Had they had one back in the day, same time as polio, we'd all be saying, look, the vaccine eradicated scarlet fever because it's gone. It's anecdotal. It's anecdotal. There was a polio vaccine. Polio is not here in America. Did the vaccine do that? Or did the fact that we stopped spraying DDT on all of our food and pesticides and lead in our water and all these things that had what as a side effect? Paralysis in the human body. So many things have changed. I'm not going to take all the credit away from vaccines. Let's say vaccines did eradicate polio. There was still millions of people that got cancer from that vaccine because there was a simian retrovirus in it, and we know that for a fact. Others got polio from the vaccine. So it was a dangerous process in a very scary time. And so for those that want to hold on to their belief in that vaccine, I would say this. If there is a crisis, if there's a paralytic disease running across America, if Ebola is running rampant in America, talk to me then and see what I think. But I'll tell you this, measles is not a deadly virus. It was a Brady Bunch episode in the 1960s. Everyone in the Brady Bunch got measles. They checked it off on a chalkboard, and the whole statement by the kids was, if you're going to get sick, you can't beat the measles because you get 3 days off from school. Somehow we've allowed the media to turn it into the Black Plague, which it is not. Why? Because they sell billions of dollars of vaccines every year to make you afraid of measles. Chickenpox. Come on. I had chickenpox. Everyone had chickenpox. This is a non-event, yet we're vaccinating for it. So when you look at this whole picture, you have to ask yourself, what is the fact and what is the hype? Who's making the money? Follow the money. And follow the future of the industry.
Let's talk about that. Let's go to kind of another kind of corollary issue to this. I would have to tend to agree with those folks that say that thimerosal is a red herring because it doesn't exist in a lot of the vaccines we have today. But aluminum is a different story. What are your thoughts on aluminum and some of the interactions and interplay that it may have?
Look, aluminum is, the big smoking gun of our time. And I'm cautious in saying that. Because I think they know that. So all I do is investigate vaccines. For 3 years, I'm one of the only journalists that's only focused on this issue. So I'm already watching the CDC try to back away from aluminum, create other adjuvants because they know the jig is up. They know we found it out, that what is causing the problems in kids is definitely aluminum. And we are injecting an incredible load of aluminum beyond anything science could ever. I mean, you can't imagine it. So to give you some perspective, we give a hepatitis B vaccine to a day one old baby, whether or not they're premature a month early and they weigh 2 to 3 pounds, or they're a big 10-pound chubber that came, a week and a half late. We give the same vaccine, a hepatitis vaccine, on that first day of life. And this, to me, is where everyone's questions should begin. A hepatitis B vaccine. This is what started my journey. This is what really, really threw up enough red flags that said, what is going on here? Hepatitis B is like AIDS. There is no difference between that and AIDS. It's a disease you can only get from injecting a heroin needle that a person with hepatitis B had, used, or sleeping with a prostitute that has hepatitis B. So why is it a day one old baby needs this vaccine? Your doctor may make up some crazy story that your baby may be walking down a beach someday and step on a heroin needle that was left by a heroin addict that has hepatitis B on it. And if that's enough to convince you in the vaccine, I am dead to you. I am lost to you. You don't have enough brain cells for me to even bother with. Anybody that falls for that, that's a ridiculous, mythological, one in a trillion possibility and not a reason to inject the amount of aluminum. So let's talk about that. Hepatitis B vaccine. Now, when we look at aluminum, there has never, ever been a study, and I look for it. This is what I found shocking. If we inject aluminum into a baby, I know that my mom always said, we don't use aluminum pans. I shouldn't have aluminum in my deodorant because there's some speculation it may cause Alzheimer's and things like that. So I grew up in a family that thought about aluminum from a very early age. And we're injecting this stuff into a day one old baby. Well, how much are we injecting? And where is the study showing the safety to inject aluminum? There is zero studies ever done by anyone in any health industry in the world that has ever injected aluminum into a human being or aluminum into a rat or aluminum into a monkey to see if it was safe to inject and what level would that be at. All there is one rat study where they fed aluminum to adult rats. And what they came to the conclusion is essentially a baby can handle up to 25 micrograms of aluminum eaten in a one-day dose. 25 micrograms is sort of the edge before it starts becoming a neurological event where you could have brain swelling or something like that, eating 25 micrograms. Now, I am not a doctor, but using my own logic, I would say eating anything is far less toxic than injecting it straight into my veins. I have to assume that if 25 micrograms is the maximum load I can eat, injecting 25 micrograms straight into my bloodstream would have to be far more toxic. We know that in drug users. We know it across the board. Okay? Well, that hepatitis B vaccine we give to a day one old baby who's gasping for their first breaths of life. Hello, welcome to the world. You're taking your first breath. Here comes your first sexually transmitted disease. Welcome to America. And not 25 micrograms of aluminum, not 50 micrograms of aluminum, not 100 micrograms of aluminum, not 200 micrograms of aluminum, but 250 micrograms of aluminum injected into a day one old baby whose brain is still developing, who has no immune system as we know it, who is the most fragile human on this planet. 10 times the amount ever approved to be fed to a rat. That is where my problem with this vaccine program begins, and it only gets worse from there. I traveled to Portugal just about a month ago because all of the scientists around the world that have started doing studies on aluminum in our vaccine program in human beings as adjuvants all met in one place. Why Portugal? It's the only safe place where they could talk to each other. They're all having their careers under fire. Their universities are trying to fire them. Their hospitals are trying to fire them simply because they are daring to ask the question, should we be injecting aluminum at 1 day old, 2 weeks old, 2 months old, 4 months old, 6 months old, 8 months old, 12 months old, 16 months old, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years? We don't. Stop. We are not stopping. We are putting tens of thousands of micrograms of aluminum into our children. And what did we find in the most recent study by Chris Exley in England, who is the premier aluminum scientist in the world? He's been studying aluminum in fish. I did an interview with him a month ago. He started because of acid rain. It was killing fish. He said, what in the rain is killing fish? He discovered it was aluminum over 30 years ago, and he's been studying it ever since. He dared to say, let me study the brains of autistic people, where people say the vaccines are what caused their autism. He'd already done a study showing that the level of aluminum in Alzheimer patients' brains was the highest ever recorded in human brains. He believes beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is the statement he said to me. I said, so you think Alzheimer's is could be caused by aluminum? He said, not could be. I am telling you, no aluminum, no autism. I mean, no Alzheimer's. So he took the next step to look at autism. And what did he find? He dissected five brains in the most rigorous testing style. Everyone uses Chris Exley's format for how you make sure. This guy even tests air samples in the room where he's going to test the brain in case there's aluminum just by nature in the air, so he can remove that quotient from the study so it is totally accurate. You are talking about one of the most accurate scientists in the study of the human brain ever known to man. Everyone uses his protocol. And what he reported of those five brains that he was given, the highest levels of aluminum ever detected in a human brain. What's even scarier, and this is the fact, that in Alzheimer's, when he studied those brains, he said the aluminum was on the outside. It was in between the cells of the brain. In these autism children, it was inside their cells. It was the immune cells in the brain. Somehow the immune cells had carried the aluminum to the brain. How does it get in your immune cell? Because of an immune activation. And when does that happen? From a vaccine. Why is the aluminum there? It's there to activate your immune system. And those white blood cells that come to activate our immune system to try and create antibodies and defend ourselves against the virus, the aluminum there is to put our body into allergic reaction our white blood cells are taking that aluminum and carrying it to our brains. And get this, every Alzheimer's brain he looked at was over 50 to 80 years old. He found aluminum in a 15-year-old child's brain that was higher than the rates of those that accumulated over 50 and 80 years in those Alzheimer's patients.
That's
our
absolutely.
Children are taking on massive loads.
That is absolutely incredible. Dell, we're running out of time. We actually have about 30 seconds left. In those 30 seconds, if people want to learn more about this, where can they go on the internet to find you?
Go to my show at the High Wire Talk, at High Wire Talk, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes. We just posted that Kat Von Doom, a big tattoo artist, has come out. She's being attacked for saying she's not going to vaccinate her child. We're covering stories like this all the time. And then if you really want information, go to my nonprofit website. That's icandecide.org and look at the white papers. We lay out all of the issues with vaccines in a very simple 37 pages on vaccine safety. icandecide.org will give you all the information you ever wanted. Or watch The High Wire every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time anywhere on the internet.
Dell Bigtree, I look forward to meeting you next week at the Red Pill Expo. Really appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm sure we'll have a long conversation there. God bless you, and safe travels as well.
God bless you, too. I'll see you there.
All right. Dell Bigtree, the movie Vaxxed, and also I Can. You just heard that. I mean, in 35 minutes, destroying the modern ideas regarding vaccinations. And I just implore you, if you've not watched the movie Vaxxed, go watch it. Look at the facts. Look at the science. It is overwhelmingly convincing. And at the very least, demands that we start asking some very hard questions, and especially among our policymakers, that we put some protections in place for those that are most vulnerable among us, our young children. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And join us for Red Pill Expo next week. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.